Could be. And Issa helps out in the office, so you can talk to Issa about doing that too, if you like.
Okay.
So, let's see here. Don't see anybody online. Usually there's people waiting online. Oh, there's Rachel. Very good. All right. It's kicking on slowly. All right. We're not too bad on time. That was not a hard Sumpter Priest question. Daniel, how are you doing, my friend? All right. So what I wanted to do tonight was, if there's no questions, let's just say hello to everybody online. Welcome, Julia, and Rachel. Welcome in the cameras. You want to look at prettier people than me? It's not good. Here's somebody who's pretty. No, I won't embarrass you on them. So, first thing I want, a couple of things I want to just address because we're headed towards Christmas. And we won't have class next week. Why? Because let me think. Next week's after Christmas. No one's going to be here. Father Jacob is not going to be here, and I'm not going to be here. I'm spending time with my family out of town. And so there won't be any Vespers either. It's like the only time, it's like the only week we miss, right, Father Jacob?
Maybe right Wednesday.
Oh, Holy Week. Yeah, well, that's different. Yeah, we have other services then. So the offices would be pretty much closed this coming week. Well, I was closing between Christmas and New Year's. So just so people can take off. And then the following week, January, I think it falls on January 3rd, we won't have class either because Theophany is the 6th and we'll do the Royal Hours for the Theophany. So we'll do that instead. And again, those classes are like teaching class, those services. We learn so much because with all the readings, the hymns of the day, we all get to participate in. And Father Jacob does a really great job of sharing the readings and stuff out. So he had the readings and everything is so Royal Hours is served in the parish for Holy Friday, Christmas, and Theophany. And it's always the prophecies and the prophecies of the feast that are being fulfilled. Okay. So, does anybody know what the 12th day of Christmas is? Is there such a thing as the 12 days of Christmas, or is that just a Christmas song?
It's a thing.
Theophany. That's right. Theophany. That's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. The first thing I want to say, you know what's very ironic? It's just a fun fact. 2,000 years ago, you know what a great debate was in the church about, not the church, but, well, I guess it would have been a church. Was whether Christ was fully man or fully God. Essentially, the early church said he was a man and not God. And the church had to meet in council to discern, say, no, he's fully God and he's fully man. Now, today, in 2023, you know what the debate is amongst not in the Orthodox Church, but elsewhere? Questioning of whether Christ was really, was not human, but just divine. Kind of the opposite. You know, we treat him, we don't talk about that, what it meant for Christ to take on flesh. That's very key to Orthodox theology. Christ is a theanthropos, T-H-E-O anthropos, theos and man. He's the God man. And that separates Orthodox theology from everything else, except maybe, of course, the Roman Church. But the big emphasis is what it meant that Christ took on flesh, that we have a God skin on him, a God who, as I think it was Saint Jerome. And somebody could correct me, that God left his mansion, heavenly mansion, to come into a throne room of dung and animals, and meaning the cave, you know, and what great humility that was, what great kenosis, self-emptying that was from the glory of the kingdom to be with us, and that he walked with us, and he engaged our difficulties, our struggles. Did Jesus get the flu?
Yes.
Yeah, theologically, probably yes, you know, or whatever the cold word it on. He dealt with everything we dealt. Christ is everything you and I are, but one thing. Does anybody know what that one thing is?
Sin.
Sin, and that's it. So he really experienced it. So that's, you know, it's and God is very near. You know, we'll sing on Christmas Eve, God is with us. Understand all peoples, all nations that God, and this is quoting Isaiah, that God has really come and be with us. And step outside of Christianity, no other, and I don't say, I hate the idea of talk about other religions, because I really believe there's no such thing as religion. It's just a way of life in Christ, you know. But if you want to, but if you're going to be, if you can go to seminary and look at other things, or look at things philosophical. Somebody say the word for me.
Philosophically.
Thank you. I'm dyslexic, so some words I just can't say. That word, other religions or other brands, other thoughts, other philosophies, I did it. There's no understanding of a God that can take on, that be with us, that was with us. It's always above and beyond our, not one that you could meet in person, never mind commune with. Okay, that's exclusive to Christianity. Okay, so I want to start by explaining theophany, or talking a little about the 12th day of Christmas. If you remember, when we did this at the very beginning, when I talked about the winter Pascha, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I said that, it's a twin feast that we have Christmas, that the early church celebrated. What's Mark's gospel begin with? Theophany. Oh, I should say, okay, what is theophany? Good question. Theos, God, finally shining forth. It was the baptism of our Lord. Mark's gospel doesn't begin with the birth of our Lord. It begins with the baptism of our Lord. That was the beginning of his ministry. It's only later, and Luke writes because he knows the story from Mary, and Matthew writes because the genealogy of Christ and the birth of Christ, and their story is very parallel. And I discussed that with you last week, so I won't discuss that. But even our iconography reflects on how close these two feasts are. So let me now share, so you guys can see it on the screen, and the people can see online. So did that work?
Yes.
Wow! Except there's some of this is covered. I don't think I can do anything with that, can I?
Yep, go over to the little line.
I got it right there. We did that good. Okay. So if you remember the is it that man, it looks better on a screen that doesn't like a computer. It does, it's a better So on the very left is the icon of Christmas. In here, Genesis of Christ, the beginning of Christ. And I think we talked all about this before, but I want to show you similarities between these two icons, how the church handles these two feasts together. So the center, what's in the center here is the Theotokos, Mother of God, and Christ in the wrapped in swaddling clothes to make look like grave, his burial, and in the crib looks like a coffin. And here is an ox and ass, and that comes from Isaiah 1:3. The ox knows its owner and ass. Something like that. Do you remember exactly how it goes? The ox knows its owner and asks something, but Israel doesn't know me, basically. So that because Israel missed Christ. And then here we have the lady cleaning the newborn Christ. We have the temptation of Joseph here, sowing seeds of doubt, the devil. We have here the angels who announce to the shepherds in the field here the birth of Christ. And here we have the three wise men coming to. And in the center, what was Christ born in? A cave, Orthodox theology. In fact, it's beautiful. The mirror, that he was born in a cave to be buried in a cave. There's this, it's not that common. What's the word for it?
Symmetry.
Symmetry. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. So, and now this here, here's another icon. And now, do you see any similarities between these two icons?
Vertical element at the top coming down.
Yep. Oh, I didn't talk about it. So what is this here? It's the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, it's the angel, the star leading. Okay. But it's also like God is leading. Now, who did I say led Christ, led the three musketeers, the three kings? The three wise guys. Yeah, the three wise men. Now, first of all, why is the wise men come? Because Christ came for the Gentiles, for the whole world. Okay. Now, how were they led there? Star. Do you really believe it was a star? So the tradition is, that it says star, but it's always the mind of the church that it was a luminous, just like God led Israel by fire at night, God led the three wise men with a star, which was probably an angel, saying, okay, come follow me, go a little bit further. Okay, you guys, you want to rest? Okay, I'll start moving. And then move the star a little bit further. But you can just see how that happened. So that was the mind of the church. So that's this here. And here, so that, yes, that's there. And what happened at Theophany? Do you remember? The Holy Spirit descends like a dove, right? So this is the Father and the Holy Spirit descending on dove. And you have Christ. So right here, you have the Holy Trinity. Theophany. So at the birth of Christ, God is made known. Christ take on flesh. But here, the Holy Trinity is made known. Now, did you notice? Yes, sir.
So the vertical feature in both of them is understood to be the Holy Spirit, or in one case, it's the Holy Spirit.
It's this here is the star.
Okay, it's part of the star.
And this here is, but see what's happening is the iconographers are purposely trying to connect these two feasts. Now, do you see? Is there a similarity here? It's as if the mountain's broken and a river flows, okay? Because the author wants to take it. Now, who's the central figure in this icon? Christ. Who's the central figure here? Christ. Theotokos was active in the birth of our Lord. Who's active in the baptism of our Lord? And their relationship is, right? This is the last saint of the old covenant. It's the new, first saint of the new covenant.
And it's also aunt and for no.
That would be cousins. That would be her nephew.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we have angels here. We have angels witnessing the baptism, aiding. Okay. Now down here we have the tree, which is the idea of the Jesse tree. Okay. The Christ's genealogy all the way back to Abraham. Okay, now here we have another tree. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. It's the image of Israel, right? What's Christ standing on here? Father Jacob's not allowed to answer.
Gates of hell.
You're right. Oh my God, he's so good.
The snakes.
And where and where does this come from? These gates of hell. Is it similar to another icon? The icon of the resurrection of Christ, because Christ's resurrection destroys hell. What happens at Christ's theophany? The beginning of the destruction of hell. And then, of course, these images of snakes here is the images of evil. Okay. What else are the parallels here? Oh, here, and there's one other thing that I want to remember. Oh, here is the ox knows its owner, and the ass knows, and the ass is master's crib. But Israel does not know; my people do not understand. Okay, and these men and women are looking; these two people are looking the other way. And the same idea as the ox and the ass that they don't understand either. You see that the parallel there too. So one second. So the church is holding the 12 days of Christmas together. I forgot the calendar in my office on my desk. Or it's just, can you get that for me? Oh, my door might be locked. It's hanging on the wall in my office. I'll try to do it from my memory, but I wanted to go through 12 days of Christmas. I have to look at it. So the day after Christmas, we celebrate the Theotokos, the Mother of God. It's a feast day that commemorates her because she was necessary for the birth of Christ. If she said no, we'd be up to brick. Correct, right? Without a savior, or unless another woman would have said yes. Now, did any other woman, did God speak to any other woman beforehand? That's the answer. We don't know. It's speculative. Thank you so much. So the day after Christmas is called the Synexis, the gathering together of Theotokos. Okay, so we have liturgy. We won't have it here at St. Justin's, but if you were in a monastery, you would have liturgy on that day. And then guess what we would have on the day after Theophany? Commemoration of St. John the Forerunner Baptist, right? And guess what we celebrate on the day after Pentecost? The Sunday after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit that comes down on Pentecost. So that's called Spirit Day. And then I'm missing one, Father Jacob.
The birth of Virgin Mary celebrate the next day.
Joachim and Anna, there you go. That's right. The mother of the mother of God. The mother of the mother of God. Jesus's grandparent, genetically speaking. Okay. So then the day after that, We celebrate the martyr, the Saint Stephen, the proto-martyr, the first martyr, because the follow Christ is a witness, and he's the first one to die for the faith. And then after that, we celebrate the 140, the innocent children, the holy innocents, the children that were slaughtered by King Herod. Because see, to follow Christ is to die yourself. And then we also on the 28th celebrate the 10,000 martyrs of Nicodemia. So this whole idea of witness, of dying, then on the 30th, the Virgin Martyr Anya. Okay, so we keep going on with this theme of just total commitment. And what happens when Christ is born? He has to run because Harry wants to be, he was born to die. The only person in the world who was ever born to die. Okay, that was his vocation. He was born to die. Okay, so, and then January 1st, turn the calendar to the beginning of this year. January 1st is the eighth day after the birth of our Lord, the eighth day after Nativity. So on the eighth day, what happened in Israel to a male on the eighth day?
Circumcised.
He was circumcised. So we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord on the eighth day. And that's when a child was named. Now, why was a child named on the eighth day? Because in those times, there's a high infant mortality rate. So they don't want to waste a good name on a baby. Make sure he's going to live. It sounds silly, but it's true. You know, you don't want to, if you have a family name, you want to continue it. That's what they did. So that's what they did in Israel. And so today in the Orthodox Church, guess what the priest does on the eighth day? I don't circumcise. I don't have a circumcision kit. But I do the naming of the eighth day. I come and do the eighth day. And literally, I do it whenever I can get to the mom, and the mom says, you know, and dad, you know. It's usually the day after the baby's born. So when Father Ted goes to the hospital and visits a newborn baby, everybody says, I won't hold her baby, just because, God forbid, I'm carrying something on me. I don't want to get the baby sick. So, you know, I always make sure the family doesn't take it personal. But I just, my wife's a nurse. My Stephen was in a hospital 3 days old because he got sick. Or 4 days, or he came home from the hospital and then immediately caught a flu or something from my other son, and he had to go in the hospital. They put on IVs and everything else. I'm very sensitive to that, you know. And it was really hard when your newborn's in a hospital overnight. My wife stayed with him, and it was just so I say the prayers for the eighth day then. Okay, so we celebrate the circumcision of our Lord on the eighth day, and then on the sixth day, in Theophany. I mean, that's a really, it's just like Christmas. There's a lot of services, and we double dip on that day, meaning on the eve of the feast, we bless water inside the church. And it's a recreation of creation. Wow, that's a big $10. What does that mean? We ask, just like we have during the liturgy, the priest says, "Oh Lord, send down the Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts here offered, and make his bread the precious body of the Lord." Precious. So that's called the anaphora. It's the calling, it's lifting up, and then the calling down is called the Epiclesis. Call it, man, you are good. She's got you. Hey,
yeah.
And she's only a catechumen.
Uh-oh.
The challenge is out there. They're definitely not. No, I'm kidding. I didn't even know the word, and I'm Orthodox 61
well,
years.
Holy water on the Theophany, right? Now, is that special water, or do we have to pay the full price from Father Jacob, or is it discounted on that?
Now, so what we do is we put water in the center of the church, and we ask God the same, not the same exact words, of course not, but we ask God to send down the grace of the Holy Spirit upon that water and recreate it. In other words, remember the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the earth, and what was underneath that water, and what was that water at that time? It was spiritually pure. Man's sin. Why did we have a hurricane? I remember one time, I said to my, when I was getting ready to go to seminary, just maybe a few months at the seminary, I saw, it was over Christmas break, that's what it was, my first, and I was with Father John Ely, who was my mentor, and he's a priest who founded us, and I was at church or something. We were having a conversation, coffee, whatever, and I said, maybe there was a hurricane or something that year, and I said, oh yeah, Andrew came that year, I was really bad, that's right, it's the year of Andrew, and I said, I questioned, why are there hurricanes in the world? Why does God allow it, you know? And I thought I had a profound question. And he looked at me, Father Ted, before man sinned, everything was cool in the cosmos. Man sinned, and our sin is so great, it affects creation. That's why there are hurricanes. That's why there are earthquakes. That's why volcanoes blow up, okay? And people die from that. And so our sin, and we see the image of pollution. That's like the perfect image of sin, our pollution, how we hurt creation. So we ask God to send down the Holy Spirit and return that water back to the same spiritual state it was in at the beginning of time, when everything was, when it was still pure. And so then we take this water, and then we use it to sanctify things, to return and dedicate them back to God. So at that time of the year, the priest in the States visits the homes of the parishioners, of whoever would have them over. And I usually try to make sure I do it for all the newer people in the community, because I tried to do everybody's, I'd be blessing. I figured it out the other day. For 5 months every night, I'd be blessing homes. That's just too much. But always for the new people in the community every year, I want to make sure I get their homes blessed, and then I'll do some other folks, especially this year. I'm gonna do it that way because I just can't keep up. And everybody always waits to the last minute, by the way. They always wait, and they start calling me, and I said, "I'm finished. Sorry, you should have signed up when there was a time." "So we're waiting." I said, "Wait, just sign up." So now I get emails like before even Theophany, "Father, put me on a list," which is okay. It's good. Okay.
Supposed to take some little pickle.
Yeah, so we bring our own jars, or and almost nobody brings a jar, so we have plastic bottles here. I don't know if we have any now. We have to check. But we take, and so we bless the water, and then we give it to everybody to take home. So if you like my little Christopher Stephen, when he would be at when he was a little boy going to bed at night, he kept the water bottle, holy water bottle, and he'd reach over, put a little bit on his finger, and cross himself on the head and close it, go to sleep. Just, yeah, it was cute, but people take, and you remember one time I was talked to my I was went to confession. I said something about just how, as a contractor, it'd be difficult. He says, "Father Ted, I want you to bring holy water in the office. And when those people make you mad on the phone, whatever's happening on the phone, you bless them. You hang up that receiver and you say, 'May the Lord bless and keep you.' Bless that phone. So I want that phone to always be wet." The point was to bless the person, everything else. But we use things. We bless cars, homes. You can bless your home yourself. You're a priest, So anyhow, so we use the sanctified to dedicate things to God. Now, Father Tom Hopko tells a story. When I was in seminary, says, "So I'm home blessing one day, and I'm going down, and they had me come down in the basement, blessed on up north. They have furnaces in the basement." And he said, and he blessed the furnace. He walked over and he said, "Shh, bless the thing." Got upstairs and finished prayers. And the man says, he says, "Well, Father, thank you for why did you bless the furnace, or thank you for blessing the furnace? Or why did you bless the furnace?" And he said, "Oh, you blessed the furnace so it won't blow up." He said, "No." So if it blows up, it's the glory of God. That's really a true theological thought. You're offering everything up to God and to the glory of God, whatever that may mean. So that's a, whatever it might mean. If it blows up, somebody turns, repents in their life and everything else, who knows? Okay. So we bless water. And then on the next day, and so Theophany this year falls on a Saturday. So Wednesday night, we'll do the royal hours, which would normally be done on Friday, but I'll just move it up. I can do that in the parish. Move it back a couple of days. And then on Saturday morning, we'll have the Feast of Theophany. We'll celebrate the liturgy. And then immediately after the liturgy, we'll bless the water in the center of the room. Then on Sunday, we'll have the liturgy again. And guess what we go do? Go bless the pond. And because why? It's God's creation. And so in the church, a lot of times on Theophany Day, if you look at the newspaper of Tampa every year, they bless whatever water's off of Tampa there, or Tarpon Springs, and they throw the cross in, and people jumping at the cross, et cetera, it's blessing the water. And then, or like in Russia, they'll walk out on the ice, and in Alaska, and they'll make a sign of the cross, and then drop the cross. And they'll cut it with a chainsaw, sign of the cross, and then and bless the water that way. And then the people, men, they'll jump in icy water because they want God's blessing. Anyhow, whatever. Okay, so I finished showing the icons. Any questions on these icons? I just wanted you guys to see that. Yes, sir.
Why are they inviting the fish?
I have no idea. I've wondered that too. But I found nothing right here. I found nothing. And the idea is just two people looking the other way. So,
those two people, yes. Well, they're in the water, so they don't know if there's something.
Yes.
Did you do the sacrament of unction here? Or did you just do when people are sick?
So that's a good question. So the sacrament of unction, it's misunderstood. People call it last rites, and
they instituted a
thing. It's called ultimate unction.
Yes. So it's done. So it's not meant to be done in a parish life for a whole community originally.
Okay.
In Byzantine tradition, it's done on Holy Wednesday night. And the reason why is because it's for the healing of, so it's for the forgiveness of sins. And so people during Lent, and in a Greek culture, you don't go to confession to your parish priest, you go to another village. And because, and that's because they don't want the priest to know their sins, but they'll tell the next guy down the street. And so, but a lot of times, so then in their village, the priest will have the unction service for his people because it's forgiveness of sins, and people can have their own private confession, whatever. Because I've been asked, I do holy unction on Wednesday evening, on Wednesday evening for the whole community. And for those who aren't chrismated, I have other oil that I anoint to people with too, so nobody gets left out with the prayers. In fact, some of the oil is miraculous oil that I have here from
Yeah, are we supposed to bring the bread, wine?
No, not for holy unction.
Okay.
No, not for holy unction. And then when somebody's sick, we'll go and we'll pray for them, and we'll lay, actually read, it's up to seven gospels with seven priests when somebody's ill. And then at the very end, the priest doesn't lay hands on them, but he lays the gospel on the head of the person. And then he holds the gospel saying that Christ is laying hands on them to heal them. But the prayer is not necessarily for the physical healing, but for their spiritual healing. And that's so important. So, and I also keep unction with me. So like when somebody comes to me and says, Father Ted, I'm having surgery. So I do the prayer after liturgy. So on Sundays after liturgy, a lot of times people come and they'll stand. After I give the cross, come stand in front of the front of the doors. And I'll take and I'll say the prayer for surgery. Then I'll anoint him, saying the prayer prayer for surgery. They would be healed. I would anoint him in the name, the healing of their soul and body. So, and then when, and so when somebody's individually sick, dude, I will do the prayer for, like when Byron, your friend Byron was sick at the bedside, I did the service of unction for him, for healing. Okay. Healing of soul and body. Also, I want to show, and we're running almost out of time here, another parallel. So what happens at the theophany when Christ is baptized? What do we hear the Father say? This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased, right? At the baptism. Do we hear it at any other time?
Transfiguration.
Transfiguration. In fact, what I love in our churches, it wasn't planned that way. The icon, the theophany, and transfiguration are opposite each other. Because they're almost the same thing, because both are a manifestation of God. Both of them, you hear the Holy Trinity. Okay? It's really great. Okay? And I've talked off the top of my head, but I pretty much did everything I wanted to do.
What?
And I have one more aspect. Yes, ma'am.
I don't understand transfiguration.
Okay, so our Lord ascends Mount Tabor, thank you, Tabor, and with Peter, James, and John in our group, and he goes to the top, and he goes to pray, and when he prays, he's filled with the light of, he reveals who he is, his glory, God is light. Mm-hmm. So that's transfiguration. Colors become light, and you can't, they can't even look on them,
mm-hmm.
and they fall away, and they, right, and then, so Christ reveals, we say in hymnography, that he reveals his glory as much as they could bear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes down and says, shh, don't tell anybody. But the idea of transfiguration is God's, let shows his divinity. It's God's all let out on how to put it in the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of time, all the creations can be transfigured, filled with the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of glory. And today, you know, like Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He was with God 4 days, 4 nights. He had to cover his face because he chose transfigured so nobody could look upon him. Because he was, and the teaching is today that even holy people really, really pray, even today, in monasteries, either extremely peaceful, or you can see the transfiguration of God in them, just in their peacefulness and their holiness. But even more so, some have actually glowed at the uncreated light of God, because there's a whole, you know, in this world. Don't understand it, don't explain it, we don't go looking for it, but we know it's there. So, in fact, I even heard the bishop refer to it on Mount Athos today, that there's saintly people who have been known to glow the uncreated light of God, but they live their whole life praying all the time and not sinning. Whereas we drive around sinning every minute that we can. So another aspect, and the last thing to speak about before we walk over next door, about the Feast of Theophany, is the Orthodox great reverence for creation. We, you know, we Americans kind of, Orthodoxy, you can't get any greener than Orthodoxy. We understand this creation is for us to take care of. It's God's creation. We're just merely stewards of it. We believe in being, I don't know how to put it, you know, one of the saints said, I can kiss this rock, it reflects the glory of God, you know, like as if it was an icon. But all creation, the beauty of creation reflects the glory of God. We're not pantheists where we worship the creation by any means, but we see the glory of God. The Holy Spirit's everywhere and fills all things. The green that's in the trees, the life that's in the trees, is the Holy Spirit in it. We you know, there's Genesis 1:26, not 1:26, I can't remember, chapter 2, I think it's chapter 2. It says that we're supposed to subdue, and what's the word, subdue the earth, and so. But some people interpret it, we have dominion of the earth, meaning we can do what we're to care for it. But same, so that means we can use it as we want. And that's not the Orthodox way. We understand we're stewards of God's creation. We, you know, we're against, you know, forgive the harsh expression, but raping the earth for our needs, you know. You know, we do what we can to protect God's environment. The word ecology comes from the Greek word ekos, which is house. It's God's house. The study of ecology would be the study of God's house, the care of the words about God's house. And so our job is to care for God's house. As Orthodox Christians. And I know, and I usually preach on it every few years at Theophany. Maybe I will this year, I don't know. But it's so important. Orthodox, it is, you know, when you drink a can of Coke, be good with it. Don't throw it on the ground. Take it and put it recycled. Finish what you're, I mean, that's a spiritual work. That's why we have coffee cups on the wall, not styrofoam cups, you know. I want to get rid of, we need to get rid of that plastic. The only reason why we haven't done it yet is because we can't get a dishwasher. And we're going to expand the building and everything else. We looked into getting a commercial dishwasher and doing it. Then we decided, wait, we're going to expand a church, et cetera. So this reason we're going to do it. But no, Orthodoxy is we have to be good stewards of God's creation. I mean, I've looked into myself of putting solar panels into my house, but you know, economics aren't there yet. You know, electric car, I looked into that, you know, it's not quite there yet. So what my hope is that Leanne and I, one vehicle will be electric and would be at least hybrid. You can't have an electric pickup truck, you just can't pull it. Truth be told. Questions, comments, criticisms. So I hope you all really you know, this nativity. I'll just say my last thought. I think the liturgy. So on Christmas morning, we go downtown and we feed the homeless, and we put the homeless and give them cookies and coffee and just the homeless and wish them Merry Christmas because they have no one to be with. Also, Christmas, you know, I was many, many years ago, one of my first Christmases as a priest here in Jacksonville, Florida, used to get the newspaper and it had the religion section. I was shocked by a number of churches that canceled church because Christmas was on Sunday. For us, it's like opposite of what it should be. You know, for Sunday morning, we're in church, or Saturday night, you know. And some churches will do Saturday night and others do all the services late into the night. I mean, Christmas Eve night, late into night instead of Sunday morning. I do night and morning just to help as many people be able to go to church. My preference would be just to do it all at one evening and just celebrate the feast like we do Pascha. And you could do it because it's the winter of Pascha. But it's not a Christmas tree Christmas. We don't do the liturgy of the tree. People, it's, you know, I've been married into a Protestant family, and so many of the family, they don't go to church, but it's all about the Christmas tree. Jesus is born, and here's your present. You know, it's a very, not even understanding the real, and I'll slam on them, it's just their experience. But the real deal is here for Christmas and for Christmas Eve that God is with us. And God be with you, and we'll go next door now. Thank you, everybody. So we won't meet next week or the week after, but we'll be back this afternoon. Oh, and good night to everybody who's online. I'm sorry, I'm being rude. We're going next door right now to worship. Sean Mason, will we be celebrating St. Vincent's Liturgy Sunday? The answer is yes. We will be doing that. And good night to everybody. We're going next door to worship. And I don't know if the stream is on, but Sean, good night. David, good night. Julia, good night. Mason, Rachel, good night. Y'all have a great evening.